We were missing some cup.
Shavuot Tov, Rabotai. Continuing in Maleches Hotzah, even though I know it's not high profile on the Bechina, but it's a fascinating sugya unto itself. Try to touch the tip of the iceberg. The Gemara here on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph establishes that Gufo Nayich, Yodo Lo Nayich. Rashi Dibra Maskel Yodo Lo Nayich. Rashi says Hilka Kiyotzia Lo Akar Midi. Rashi says that when you have an object in your hand, that's not called Hotzah, because Yad Lo Nayich. If Yad Lo Nayich, it means that the object is not in a Mokom Hanocha, and in order to achieve, to implement an Akira, you have to be Oker from a Mokom Hanocha. So if Yad is not a Mokom Hanocha, then there's no Akira from the Yad. And that's the way Rashi seems to learn Yad Lo Nayich. Rashi continues, he says, Gufo Nayich al Gabi Karka, Bahavi Akira. And Rashi says that if an object is resting on a body, not on the Yad, then the body, since it's standing on the Karka, the object on the body is therefore on the Karka. Whereas the Yad is a separate entity. Rashi doesn't see the Yad as the goof. The goof is Nachal Gavi Karka. It has a stationary place, a stationary position. And therefore, when he moves his body with the object on top of his body, he's going to be Chayev. He did an Akira Mimokom Hanocha. However, removing an object from a Yad, since the Yad is not a Mokom Hanocha, does not constitute an Akira. Because as we said, an Akira has to come from a Mokom Hanocha. And if Yad is not a Mokom Hanocha, Yad Lo Nayich, therefore there's no Akira Miyod. So Rabotai, in today's discussion, what I'd like to do is analyze two questions, Halacha L'maisa questions. And the Poskim deal with these questions. We're not going to address the Poskim. We're going to try to go back to the Sugi itself, to Rashi, to the Rajba, to Tosis, and try to analyze these questions. Al Pi the Rishon. Question number one. Let's describe a scenario with Reuven and Shimon standing next to each other in the same reshus. Reuven stretches his arm out from one reshus into another reshus. But he doesn't have anything in his hand. So he's got an outstretched arm. He's standing in one reshus. His arm is now outstretched to another reshus. Good. Shimon is standing next to him, but he's holding an object. And he takes the object from that same first reshus into the same second reshus, but he places it down in the hand of Reuven. Keep in mind that Reuven is located in the first reshus, we can call it reshus Arabim. His arm is outstretched into the reshus Hayochit. And now Shimon takes an object from the reshus Arabim, puts it into the hand of Reuven in the reshus Hayochit. Do we have the scenario? Well, I mean, again, right now it's very abstract, but we know that we'll come back. The second case that the Poskim deal with is the case where Reuven takes an object and he places it into Shimon's hand. Shimon, in this case, moves his body into another reshus. And he's holding on to the object now in his second reshus. He never put it down in the second reshus, but it's in his yad. Would he be chayev for that? Again, Reuven put the object in Shimon's hand. Shimon moves not just his hand, but his entire body, leaves the first reshus, enters into the second reshus, but he doesn't place the object on Gabi Kai. Would he be chayev in such a case? I mean, Shimon, yeah. obviously. Reuven is not chayv because all he did was an akira. But Shimon took the object and now, with his body, walked into a different reshus. But he never put the object down. It remained in his hand. Okay. So having said that, we'll take a look at Tosis Divra Maskel my time. Tosis has a problem with Rashi. Rashi says, Yodolonai, that the object resting in the hands of a person is not considered resting. Pirish, Rashi, Pirish, Yodolonai, Chagabi Karka. It's not like you put something down in the Karka, it has a permanent position on the Karka. Here, the object is in the hand, in the yad. A yad is not like Karka, it's not permanent. And therefore, it's not considered a Mokom Anocha. Mashma, it would seem, according to Rashi, Afilu hu v'yado b'mokom echad, it matters not whether he, his body, is in one rishus, and his yad is outstretched into another rishus, or he, his body, and his yad are in the same rishus. In all cases, yadolo nayach, according to Rashi, is therefore v'nasa lo chaveiro l'toch yado v'hotzi. So again, Reuven puts the object into Shimon's hand. Shimon is standing together with his body in the same rishus. And then, hotzio. Then he takes the object out. Potur. According to Rashi, should be potur. Why? Because although Reuven put the object in Shimon's hand, yado shel adam lo nayich, it's not considered a makom anocha, and therefore, when Shimon takes the object out into another rishus, even though again he was together, his body and his yad were together in one rishus, Shimon is not chayav because he couldn't have done an akira according to Rashi. Because where is the object? It's in the yad. The yad is not a makom anocha because yad lo nayach. Fractosis, that's against the Mishnah. The Mishnah itself says, then it's certainly in such a case you'd be chayav. V'ein nira, the bechol inyan shit ino chavero. When his friend places an object, Reuven places an object on Shimon, bein al ksefo, bein al yado, even if Reuven places the object in Shimon's hand, the hotzi chayav. How can Rashi say that yad is lo nach? Doktani, the Mishnah says, oshen notal misocha v'hotzi. It means that the ani took something out of the hand of the Baal HaBayis and he brought it out. Chayav. So where was the object originally? We'll call the Baal HaBayis Reuven. It was in Reuven's hand. The Baal HaBayis is in Rishus Hayochid. The ani picks up the object out of the hand of the Baal HaBayis. So Shimon takes it out of the hand of Reuven, brings it out, and the Mishnah says he's chayav for that. Again, it's not the case where Reuven placed it into Shimon's hand. Reuven, the Baal HaBayis, was holding the object. Shimon took it out of his hand. The Hotzi Chayav Alma, we see clearly. Hanochas Chefetz B'yad Baal HaBayis. Kishehu B'yado B'shus Achas. Havya Hanocha. Why would the Ani be Chayav when he picks the object out of the hands of the Baal HaBayis unless the object is considered Nach in the hand? It means that Yado Shal Adam Nayich. Sha'otar means he picked up the Chayfetz Miyad Baal HaBayis, and therefore he made an Akira from a Yad, then the Yad is considered Nayich. The Kavan Dehavi Hanocha Kisha Okir Gufo Im Zeshab Yado Havi Okro Mimokam Hanocha. When he picks up the object and he takes it out with his goof, meaning his yad is in the same rishus as his goof, we're talking about the ani now, who picks it up out of the hands of the Baal HaBayis, and now he brings it out, he's chayav. In other words, Tosfos understands that when the Gemara says yado lo nayach, it's a very specific case. It's not to say that a yad is not a mokom anocha. In fact, as we'll soon see, the Gemara says later on in Daf Hey that Yado Shel Adam Chashuv Alei K'Makom Dalet Al Dalet. Certainly, Yad is a Makom Anocha. When the Gemara says Yado Lo Nayich, says Tosfos, It means because his guf is in one rishus, his yad is outstretched into another rishus. Such a yad that's stretched out in a different rishus than his guf, and we separate the yad and the guf into two rishuyos, yado b'rishus achas, gufo b'rishus acheres. In such a case, we say yado lo nayach. But Rashi, on the other hand, says that the yad is not a mokom anocha. Tosus accuses Rashi, and rightfully so, of holding that since a yad is always on the move, it's a temporary position, the object is not considered permanently situated in a mokom anocha, therefore a yad could never be nach. If that be the case, then Tosus derives the obvious conclusion that according to Rashi, yado lo nayach bein bi yado pshuto l'shus acheres, bein bi yado v'gufo b'shus achas, and that's against our Mishnah, because the Mishnah says that if the Ani picks it up out of the hands of the Baal Bayis, or the Baal Bayis out of the hands of the Ani, and he brings it into another Rishus, he's chayim. The Rashba, in Chidushi HaRashba, says the following. Hachi Garcina, Rabbeinu Chananel has a different girsa in the Gemara. Rabbeinu Chananel's girsa, and Tosus quotes this girsa as one possibility, says that gufo nayich, yado lo nayich, the gufo, the yado basa gufo grera. It means that his guf is in one rishus and his yad is in a different rishus. And yado basa gufa grera. That's what the Gemara means by yado lo nayich. Clearly, that girsa of Rabbeinu Chananel would support the sheet of Tosus, that yado lo nayich is not aloch in the yad itself. It's only aloch when the yad and the guf are separated because they're in two different rishuyos. That's called yado basa gufa grera. Rashi, on the other hand, mentions lishnach rina. This is the last line of Rashi on Gimel Amud Aleph. Yado basa gufa grera, v'lo garsina, v'yaseirahu. So Rashi mentions the girsa of Rabbeinu Chananel, and he takes it out. Because Rashi is perfectly satisfied with yado lo nayach. By introducing yado basa gufa grera, you're confusing the issue. Because then you're not focused on the yad per se, but on the relation between the yad and the guf.
Rashi's saying it's yaseirah, not that it conflict with the Shita.
Correct.
It's unnecessary for an Shita.
Correct. And that's what the Rashba is going to make a big deal of that. The Rashba says the following. Rashi kasav the lo garsinan yado basa gufa grera the yaseirahu, says the Rashba pirush. What does Rashi mean here? Yado lo nayich al gabi karka gufo nayich al gabi karka. So the Rashba starts by presenting Rashi's sheet to the way Tosus understood Rashi, that the yad itself is not a mokom anocha, and therefore you could not have an akira when you move the yad with the object in the yad. V'im tomar, if that be the case, im kein nasa b'toch yado shabal bayis o not al misocha mai chayv. He asks the kasha Tosus on the Mishnah, v'abein an akira v'anocha mimokom nach yesh lomar. And now he reinterprets Rashi. Delo amru yado lo naichi ela kashi omedes b'shus achas. Excuse me, b'shus acheres al gabi karka. When the yad is outstretched into another rishus, and his goof is al gabi karka vit ino chavero biyado, and his friend puts the object down in his hand, the hotzi. Shehei chayav. In such a case, you want to think he should be chayav when he takes his hand with the object in it and brings it into another rishus. No, dili olam ein la hanocha b'fnei atzma el b'rishus shaguf omed sham shimunachas agav gufo. When does yad qualify as a mokom hanocha? That's only if the yad and the guf are in the same rishus. Then he goes on to say, Li olam ayad nigreris achrov, the yad is always attached to the guf. Leman di omar, now he quotes a sugya in Perek HaMatznia. And this is the sugya of Abayi in Rava, and the sheet of Abayi is that agad yad, shmei agad, and therefore when he takes something out from one rishus to the other with his yad, he's potter according to Abaye, because he never really took it out of the Rishus. His yad is always agav and agad to his goof. Says the Rashba, that's exactly what our sugi is reflecting. The kevan, the ogdo biyadohu, afal pishi niyach yodo bekaka ein zuha nocha. So once again, the Rashba introduces, or injects, if you will, into Rashi, the basa gufa greira svara. That it all depends whether his yad and his gufa are in the same rishus. When does Rashi maintain that the yad is not considered a makom hanocha? That's only because his yad is stretched outstretched into another rishus. And that's the sugin hamatzniya of agad yodo or lav agad yodo. According to Abaye, agad yodo shmei agad, which means that we always see the yad as connected to the guf. And therefore, when he stretches his arm out, he never really takes it out of that rishus. He can't be chayav. That's Abaye. Rava disagrees with Abaye, but Rava himself, the Gemara establishes on Daf Tzadi Beis, makes a chilik between whether Yodo is lamala miyud tfachim or lamata miyud tfachim. And Rava says the Gemara would agree to Abaye that you could be chayav and agad yodo lav shmei agad if it's lamata miyud tfachim. Then it's considered kimunach agavi karka. Then the yad and the guf are in two separate rishuyos. But if it was lamala migimel, Abaye is willing to say he's potter because agad yodo shmei agad, and we view the yad as if it's together with the goof in that rishus. He never took it out of that rishus. According to Rav, on the other hand, once it's lamala migimel and the yad is not bottled to the karka, so to speak, therefore the yad remains a rishus unto itself. And then if it's lamala migimel, then he's going to be potter. Because agad yodo lav shmei agad. But on both sides, the Rashba is a very beautiful possibility. But I'm sorry to say, it's not the sheet of Rashi. Because if you open up to Daf Tzadi Beis, Rashi clearly distinguishes between the two sugyas. Rashi, Divra Maskel, right before the Mishnah on Daf Tzadi Beis, Hosam Lamala Migimel, and why is he Patur? According to Abaye, and you would have said, because in the Rashba's frame of reference, because Agad Yad Shmei Agad, and his yad is considered to be nigrar basar gufo, says Rashi, v'tayma mishum delo nach. The yad is not considered a makom hanocha. In other words, according to Rashi, the chisaron here is not the hotzah per se. He did take it out from one rishus to the other, but there's no anocha, because the yad is not munach unless it's bottled to the karkel of matami yud, matami gimel. And Rashi goes on and he says it black and white. He says, "V'lo mishum agad gufo." Not the way the Rashba says it, because his yad is agud to his guf, and shadina on yado basa gufo greira. So Rabosai, if we take Rashi on Daf Tzadi Beis and put him together with Rashi here on Daf Gimel, we come to the conclusion that just as Tosfos had accused Rashi, the opinion of Rashi is that Yad is not a Mokom Hanocha. Period. It has nothing to do with Yado and Gufo B'shtei Rishuyos. And it has nothing to do with Yado Basa Gufo Greira. You want to add that to the text? Rashi says it's Yaseira, it's totally unnecessary. Because even if I take out the words Yado Basa Gufo Greira, I still come to the very same conclusion that Yado Shel Adam is not considered a Mokom Hanocha. Factosus, if that be the case, then you're extending this halacha of Yado Onayach even to a situation where the goof and the yad are in the same rishus, and that's against our Mishnah. Now let's take a look at Tosfos himself. Tosfos himself has two girsos in our Gemara, and he validates both of them. He says, Nira l'ri kiloshan acher degaras yado basar gufa greira ulemai degaras nami yado lo nayich mefarish ri dahayne mishum de basar gufa greira. Tosfos is willing to justify both girsos. If you have the girsa of basa gufa greira, it's very simple. The yad is in one rishus, the guf is in a different rishus, and then Tosfos says yado lo nayich. If you only have the girsa of yado lo nayich, says Tosfos, I can still fit it in, The Gemara doesn't give us the explanation, l'namek, you know, to explain why yado lo nayich. And the answer is because basar gufa greir. So it's left out of the sugya. But Hainu Taima says Tosfos the basar gufo gar. Rabotai, what does Tosfos mean when he says basar gufa greir? I would like to suggest two possibilities. The first possibility is that the object is considered located in the reshus where his guf is, since the yad is connected to the guf, therefore the makom hachefetz is the makom haguf. It's in the yad in a different reshus. That doesn't matter because the yad is connected to the guf. That's possibility number one, and that really underlies the sugya of Abaye of Agad Yad Shmei Agad. But there's another possibility. Perhaps what Tosfos means is the following. That when his yad and his guf are in two different rishuyos, the yad is in one rishus, and the guf is in another rishus, then we cannot view the object as if it entered into the new rishus. This is what Tosfos means by yad lo nayich. It means that enochinami, if the yad and the guf are in the same rishus, so the yad is considered nach. And why is the yad considered nach? Because of the goof. The goof itself makes the yad into nach. But medvar mamurim, when does the goof have the ability to make the yad into nach? That's only if the goof and the yad are operating together in the same rishus. But if the yad is separate from the goof, it's stretched out into a different rishus, then Tosfos holds, you cannot say that because the guf is nach, therefore the yad is nach. There's a fundamental difference between the two interpretations. According to our first interpretation, what Tosfos means is, where is the object located? It's located where the guf is, and that's called agad yad, or in the Gemara's language, Yerodaf Gimel, yado basa gufa greir. In our second interpretation, Tosfos is saying that the hanocha betoch yado in this scenario, where the yad is in one rishus and the guf is in another, is not considered a hanocha. That's not a makom hanocha. Yado lo nayich. And perhaps our two interpretations really reflect the two girsos in the Gemara. The first girs that Tosfos presents is yado basa gufo greira. Obviously, there's no independent reason to suggest that yad is not a makom hanocha. It's only because yado basa gufa greira, and it's connected to the guf, that we view the object as if it's in the makom haguf. Otherwise, yad in and of itself could be a makom hanocha. But then Tosfos has a second girsa, and he justifies that girsa with a stipulation. He says that yado lo nayich is a correct girsa, and I can accept that girsa. The yad itself is lacking in hanocha, but only, says Tosfos, why? What's the additional explanation that's not written explicitly according to this girsa in the Gemara? It's because yado basa gufa greira, which means that what gives the yad its status as a makom hanocha? It's the guf. But when, if the guf and the yad are operating together in tandem in the same rishus, then because of the guf, the yad is considered nayich. Once the yad goes out on its own, it takes a little bit of a tiyul, then at that point, the separation between the yad in one rishus and the guf in a different rishus doesn't allow me to give the yad the status, to endow the yad with the status of a makom hanocha, of nayich, based on the guf. The guf can no longer operate on behalf of the yad. And I think we gain something important from this understanding of Tosfos. The second understanding, number one, it really explains the girsa of yado lo nayich in and of itself. But number two, I think it's supported by Tosfos in the sugya in Hamatznia. The sugya in Hamatznia about Agad, Yad, Shmei Agad, Olav Shmei Agad. Tosfos says, Lamala mi gimel, Unehi de lav Shmei Agad. Even though I'm maintaining now, like Rava, that we don't say Shadina and Yado Basa Gufo and Yado Basa Gufo Greer, all those svaras go out the window because Agad Yad, Lav Shmei Agad. Tosis says, nevertheless, Hanocha Leka. It's not considered Munach. And that's how Tosis maintains it. And in the Maskon, at the very end of this Tosis, he quotes the Ri, who says, the Hasam Lamalami Gimel, he reinterprets the Gemara in Hamatzniyah of Lamalami Gimel, Islan Lameimar, Dishmei Agad. And what does that mean? Lamalami Gimel, Shmei Agad, according to the Ri? Kidamrina Biperikama. Now Tosis wakes up and he quotes our Sugya, Di Yado Basa Gufa Grira. The Hachal Lamatami Gimel, the Lav Shmei Agad. When do we say Lav Shmei Agad? That's only Lamatami Gimel. Then we view the Yad as a separate entity operating on its own in a different Rishus. That's the Reis Chiddush. But if the Yad is above Gimel Tfachim, and we don't apply the principle of Yad being bottled to the Kaka, then we're going to say that Yado Basa Gufa Grero, like the Gemara here at Daf Gimel, and that's what it means, that Agad, Yad, Shmei Agad. But Rabosai, that's only the Re at the end of the Tosis. But the bulk of the Tosis is assuming, like he starts at the very beginning, that even though Agad Yad Lav Shmei Agad, and we don't connect the Yad to the Guf, nevertheless you're Potur L'mala Migimel, because the Yad is not a Mokum Anocha. In other words, Tosis really has the Girsa, Tosis here in Amatzniyah has the Girsa of Yadolo Nayich, that the Yad is not a Mokum Anocha. The Tosis adds a very important stipulation, that when is it considered Yad Olo Nayich? That's because the Yad is outstretched into a different Rishus. And now the Guf doesn't have the power to endow the Yad with a state of Hanocha. When is the Yad considered Nayich? Only when it's disconnected from the Guf, so to speak. It's operating on its own, either because it's Lamata Migimel and it's Batul Karka, or even if it's Lamala Migimel, if I hold Agad Yad Lav Shmei Agad, if I hold on the other end Agad Yad Shmei Agad, and the Yad is Lamala Migimel, then the Yad is considered Basa Gufa Greira. It means that the Yad is not considered a Makom Hanocha, because it's not related to the Guf. Only when you have that close relation between the Guf and the Yad, because they're both in the same Rishus, then the Guf establishes the Yad as a Mocham Hanocha. And if this be the case, Rabbo, so we can come back to the Rashba and Rashi. What was the Rashba's point in Rashi? The Rashba wanted to insist that according to Rashi, the only time I say Yodol Onayach is only when it's Yod Basa Gufa Greira, the Yad is in one Rishus, and the Guf is in another Rishus. That's exactly the Sheet of Tosus. The Rashba wants to identify Rashi with Tosus. And in our second interpretation of Tosus, that is Rashi identical, the way the Rashba understands Rashi, namely, that if the Yad is in a different Rishus than the Guf, then we apply this far the definition of Yod Olonayit, because the Guf is not operating on behalf of the Yad, so to speak, to make the Yad into a Makom Hanocha. So just to summarize, according to the understanding of the Rashba and Rashi, the status of Nayach vis-a-vis Yado is established by the Guf, but that can only apply when the Guf and the Yad are in the same Rishus. I don't have here access to Chidush Aran. I have it back in Harnof. Do we have a Chidush Aran here on Shabbos? I don't know, I didn't know where to find it. If we have a Chidush Aran, if not, I'll bring it in for you, but we need there. He says this Svara almost verbatim, black on white. And he says that the reason why the Yad is considered Nayach is because of the Guf. And then he stipulates that's only if the Yad and the Guf are in the same Rishus. But here, Rabosai, I want to share with you the Kasha of Rabbi Kiveger and Tosus Rabbi Kiveger on Mishnah. It's at the very beginning of the Masechet. If you take a look at Rashi, Dibra Maskil Oshen Notal in the Mishnah, Rashi adds an unbelievable chiddush here. Rashi says, Oshen Notal, the Ovidle Balabayas Akira, the Hotzi Ha'ani Vihiniach. Rashi says this over and over again in the Mishnah. Rashi says it's not enough that I stretch my hand into the Rishus HaYachid and bring my hand back, taking it out of the Balabayas' hand and putting it, stretching my arm back into Rishus HaRabim, but rather Rashi says I need a Hanocha Al Gabi Karka. Oshenotel Mitocha V'Hotzi, says Rashi, it's about 12 lines down from the top of the page. Hachef Zvi Niach Rishus HaRabim. Rashi adds those two words. He stipulates that he put it down in the Rishus HaRabim. And if you look in the second Rashi, which I also wrote on the Maror Makomos page, Rashi says in Dibra Maschil, so many Rashi's on the Mishnah, I don't want to get the wrong one. Good. Rashi says, Oshin Nasan Lisocha Diavile Balabai Sakira Vahotzi Haani Vihiniach. So Rabbi Kivega points out that Rashi, in every case of Hotzah Biyad, in the Ani and the Balabais of Abishna, requires Hanoch al Gabi Karka. Rashi says this consistently. Says Rabbi Kivega, that brings us full swing back to the Tosfos' understanding of Rashi. That basically Rashi means that even if the Yad and the Guf are in the same Rishus, that's not considered Hanocha. The Yad per se is not a Mokum Hanocha. Even when the Guf and the Yad are in the same place. And therefore Rashi requires that you take the object, after you brought the Yad back, and you place it on Gabi Karka. Is Memela Hadra Kusha Satos L'duchte? We're back to square one. Why is it then, if really Rashi holds that the Yad is never a Mokum Nayich, why is it that when the Baal Bais takes it out of the hands of the Ani, or vice versa, he's Chayev? He never did an Akir from a Mokum Hanocha. That's Rabbi Kivega. And Rabbi Kivega is so impressed with this Kasha that he says that this whole Sugya, this whole Rashi, is an interpretation of the Mishnah according to the Havamin. The Havamin of the Gemara, that the Gemara thought, Akira's Gufo, Lav Kakira's Chayfetz Dami. That means whenever I move something that's already on my goof, that's not considered an Akira. But whenever I stop dead in my tracks when I have an object on my goof, that's not considered a Hanocha. So Rashi has the problem over here. When the Ani pulls the hand with the object out into Rishus HaRabim, it's Hanochas Gufo, Vanochas Gufo Lav Kanochas Chevetz Domi. So Rashi says, V'nicha al Gavi Karka. You mean to say that if Rabbi Kivega understands that the Yad itself is no, because again, according to Rabbi Kivega, the Yad itself in Rashi's frame of reference is considered a Mokum Hanocha. And if he can make an Akira from the Yad. Why does Rashi require that when he brings his hand back, he has to put it down on Gavi Karka? That's because Hanocha's Gufo, Lav Kanocha's Chayfetz Tofi. And Rashi is interpreting according to the Havamim. So you follow what I'm saying? What I'm saying is that the Yad itself is considered, even according to Rashi, says Rabbi Kivega, a Mokum Hanocha. And that has to be so, otherwise we can't interpret the Mishnah. Rashi says that you have to be Meiniach al Gavi Karka. That's for a different reason. Because where's the Hanocha over here? If the body stops dead in its tracks, and the Gemara at this point holds that Hanocha's Gufo Lav Kanocha's Chayfetz Domi, he never did Hanocha. That's why Rashi requires Hanocha al Gavi Karka. Very difficult. I mean, the more logical way of understanding Rashi without Rabbi Kivega is that Rashi holds that he has to put it down al Gavi Karka because Yad Olo Nayach, because the Yad is not a Mokum Hanocha. But then we're stuck. If the Yad is not a Mokum Hanocha, then the Yad is not a Mokum Akira as well, and then we're back to square one, and Tosfos says you don't have to square Rashi with the Mishnah. So our goal in the next few minutes is to try to understand Rashi in the Mishnah and why Rashi requires Hanocha based on the premise that Yad Olo Nayach, that the Yad is not a Mokum Hanocha. It's not a Mokum Nayach. And yet, The Mishnah says that if you take an object out of the hands of a person, whether he's the Baal Bais or the Ani, in both cases, Yechayef. That's considered an Akira or Hamachayef. How do we square this? Let's mention again the Sugya Daf Hei. Yado Shel Adam Chashuvalo Kimakom Dalet Al Dalet. From this Sugya, we derive the conclusion that the Yad is considered a Makom Anocha. And therefore, if Reuven takes something out of Shimon's yad, that's considered akira. And of course, Rashi would never question that. The premise is so clear and explicit in the sugya that the yad is considered a makom anocha. So again, if we're focused on the yad itself, the yad atzma, that's considered a makom anocha. And hanocha biyado is considered a Maisa Hanocha. So if Shimon puts something down in Reuven's hand, Reuven's hand is a Makom Hanocha, and Shimon therefore has done a Maisa Hanocha. However, there is one distinction between Yad and Guf. Even though Yad is a Makom Hanocha, the Yad per se, and therefore if you place something down in my hand, that's considered Hanocha, and if I pick up something from your hand, that's considered an Akirim Makom Hanocha, and Rashi cannot possibly deny that Yadol Shalonim Chshuvalei Kedalet Al Dalet. Nevertheless, there is a fundamental difference between Yad and Guf. And for this Rabosai, we have to read the beginning of the Sugya. We started the Sugya with the words Guf Olayich Yadolonai. But let's go back. The Gemara says, Boy mine rav mi rebi. Hit ino chavero ochlunu mashkin. Votzion lachutz. Mahu. Akiras guf o kakiras chayfetz mimkoma domi umachayev o dilmolo. The Gemara has a suffix whether akiras gufo is kakiras chayfetz. What is the Gemara vacillating about? What are the two tzadim in this ibayah? The Gemara thinks that there are two ways of interpreting akira saguf. One is to say that the chayfetz, which is resting on the guf of the person, is considered just that. It's resting, it's nach, on the guf. And that's it. And that's called akiras gufo lav kakiras chayfetz tomei. If the chayfetz is on the guf, then the chayfetz always remains on the guf. It's never actually changed its position. And therefore, that's not called an akira. And that's not called a hanocha. Because mitchila v'ad sof, the object is munach in the same exact place al gufo shel adam. It's like the famous Musa Shmuz of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. You know that when a woman holds a baby and she moves with the baby never changes position. Al pi Hashem yachnu, al pi Hashem yisor. Right. So basically, akiras gufo lav kakiras chayfetz dami means that the chayfetz is munach on the guf and only on the guf. Is mamela when I move the guf, I never really change the position of the chayfetz because the chayfetz from the beginning to the end is always munach al gufa. Oh, Dilma, no. The chayfetz is munach al gabikarka. Since the guf is standing on the karka, whatever I place on the guf, you know, you put a knapsack on his back, that's considered nach al gabikarka. The guf, so to speak, is only, I don't know, a tree that's protruding from the ground, but really the object is found on the ground. And therefore, if the chayfetz that's nach al gufo is nidon, is defined as kibunach agavi karka, then the mela akiris gufo kakiris chayfetz domin. Because the chayfetz is no longer munach agavi karka, he literally picked up the chayfetz from the karka and relocated it. Because the chayfetz was munach where, according to this tzad in the Gemara? Al gavi karka. Here the Gemara says, V'eino domo liyado. The last line of that Gimel Amud Bet, Amud Aleph. Says the Gemara, here we should make a distinction between the guf and the yad. Why? My timer, because gufo nayich yodolo nayich. And if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says gufo nayich al gavi karka, implying that yodo lo nayich al gavi karka. And the Gemara now is coming to the following conclusion: even though I could be poshet yori bayrav to the conclusion that akiras gufo ke akiras chefetz dami, which means that where do we view the object being munach? Not on the goof, not on his katef, but on the karka. But yado lo nayich, meaning Rashi says lo nayich al gabi karka. The object in the hands of a person is not considered nach al gabi karka. Oh, if this be the case, then it's wonderful. Rashi is saying the following: that if the ani or the baal bais picks up the object and brings it out, Rashi holds that that's not meleches hotzah, because he did nothing. He never relocated the object, because the object was never al gavi karka, such that now he was oker it from the karka. Where was the object? It was in his yad. It began in his yad, and it ends in his yad. Is Mimela, Rashi says that unless he puts the object down al gavi karka, he will never be chayav from leches hotzah. And that's going to answer Tosfos' kasha. Einochinami, if Reuven puts the object down in Shimon's hands, the hand itself, in and of itself, per se, is a makom anocha. And Rashi doesn't deny it, because Yad Shalom Kshiva Kedalad al Dalad. And therefore, when the Ani picks up the object from the hands of the Baal Bayis and he takes it out, he's chayav, he was oker from a makom anocha. The only question is that where did he place it down? If he didn't place it down anywhere, then the object is still in his yad, just as it was from the beginning of his maisa, and it always remains in the same place. Because even though gufo nayich, yado lo nayich. If yado lo nayich adds Rashi al gavi karka, the object was never situated on the karka. So if Reuven is holding an object in his hand, that's called, the hand of Reuven is called the makom anocha. And therefore, if Shimon picks it up from Reuven's hand, he's being ochre from makom anocha. That's called an akira machayeves. The question is now, what does he do with the object? If he takes the object out and he doesn't put it down, as Rashi says, the yad was holding on to this object from beginning to end, and the object was always located on the yad. Is therefore there's no meleches hotzah, you haven't relocated the object. It's like the Havamin of the Gemara regarding gufo. That gufo, that akiris gufo, lav kakiris chayfit, something, because the object started on the goof and ended on the goof, because there was never nachal gabi karka. But now we're saying no. Bishlem, as far as goof is concerned, anochas chayfit on gufo is considered anochas chayfit al gabi karka, and therefore akiris gufo, kakiris chayfit stomi. But in the case of yat, which is lo nayif, what does lo nayich mean? Not that the yad is not a makom anocha. Chas v'shalom, you can't accuse Rashi of saying such a thing. It's impossible. Can't maintain such a svara. Yad is certainly a makom anocha. Ella what? Rashi says lo nayich al gavi karka. Rashi says that the object in his hand is not considered through his hand to be considered munach al gavi karka. The yad is a separate entity that breaks up the location of the object from the yad to the karka. And it's not bottled to the karka. Is therefore, he can take it out of someone's hand, and that's considered an akira. When he removes it from someone's hand, he's removing it from a makom anocha. Einochinami, it's not munach agabi kak, but who cares, because yadu shaladam chshiva lekidalad al dalad, and that's enough to be mechayev me for the akira hamechayeves. Now he's got to take it out into another reshus, but what's he going to do with it? As long as he's holding on to it, then it's situated, it's located on the yad from beginning to end, mitri losav yad sofo. Says Rashi, he's got to place it down in the reshus aravim. When he does hanoch al gavi karak in reshus aravim, now he was okir it from reshus hayochid, and he puts it down in reshus aravim, and he's tired. Oh. Yeah, go ahead, Ken, I'm sorry.
The original akira, what reshus did that take us?
Ah, that's an interesting question. Okay, that's going to be the next part of the sugya, where Rashi says, if you take a look at Av Gimel Amid Beis, and I'm not sure if I'm prepared to get into this yet, but Rashi says, let me just find a few, Just 1 second. I think it's in this long Rashi Boya Baye. Where does Rashi say Lo Kirshusa Yochid and Lo Kirshusa Rabin? Where is it? Does anybody see it? I can't even see it. It should be here, right here on Ahmed Bey's. Okay. Just give me a minute. Oh, take a look at this Rashi. Omar Abai Pshitali. It's about 5 lines down. Rashi says, with regard to Yodel Shalom HaPshutol Shus HaCheres, Eden is Rekes Achar Gufo Legamre Lios Kirishus Shehu Omeid Ba. See, Rashi adds the word Legamre. That's a very important word. But Bein Shehu Bershus HaYoch Bein Shehu Surah. But keep in mind that Rashi's talking about a case where a person is picking up an object by stretching his arm into another rishus, taking it out, and he never puts it down. But if, let's say, a person is standing there holding an object in his yad, so Rashi admits that since yad is considered a makom dalet al dalet, then when he picks it out of his yad, that's considered to be part of that rishus, and therefore he'd be chay. You want to look that over? If you get a chance, take a look at that Rashi. Very important Rashi. But I wanted to now swing back to the beginning of our discussion, and we had two cases that the poskim addressed, and now I think we're ready to analyze those cases. Number one, the first case was, if you remember, Reuven and Shimon are standing side by side in the same rishus. Reuven stretches his arm out into a different rishus, and Shimon takes an object from the same rishus that Reuven is standing in and places it into the hand of Reuven in the second rishus. Would he be chayav or not? Do you have the scenario? Oh. According to Rashi, he's chayav. Why? Because according to Rashi, he starts by picking up the object in the first Rishus, we'll call it Rishus Arabim, takes it out into Rishus, or takes it into Rishus HaYochid, and he places it down into Reuven's Yad. And the Yad, according to Rashi, is a Mokum Anocha. It's got a Dalet al Dalet situation. He doesn't have to put it down al Gavi Karka, he can put it down in the Yad, because the Yad itself is a Mokum Anocha. Mashain Kane, according to Tosis, Tosis holds Gufo, Yado Basa Gufo Greira, that the reason why the Yad is not considered a Makom Anocha is because the Yad is outstretched into a different Rishus. And now I can no longer give the Yad the status of a Makom Anocha by virtue of its connection to the Guf, because the Guf and the Yad are in two different Rishuyos. So in this case, that Reuven is standing in one Rishus, and he stretches his arm out into a different Rishus, the Yad itself is not a Makom Anocha. And Rashi doesn't know of such a thing. Rashi holds that the Yad is always considered a Makom Anocha. The problem with the Yad is it's not a Maisa Hanocha if you carry it without putting it down. If you constantly carry something in your hands, Rashi says, where's the Maisa Hanocha? Because Yad Olonayich means not that Yad is Mufka from the status of being a Makom Anocha, but Yad Olonayich means it's not Al-Gabi Karka. And if it's not Al-Gabi Karka, you never relocated the object. It was always in your Yad from beginning to end. But here, that Shimon took it out from one Rishus to the other, he placed it into Reuven's Yad in a different Rishus, he did a Maisa Hanocha. And Yad Olonayich Shimon Tosis, on the other hand, which he also holds, that Yadabasa Gufa Greira. And the way we explained it, even if Tosis accepts the Girsa of Yadolonayich, but the reason why Yadolonayich is because the Yad is outstretched into a different Rishus, and therefore the Yad cannot be considered a Makom Anocha. So when Reuven stretches his Yad out, his Yad cannot be a Makom Anocha, and therefore Shimon is going to be Potter when he puts it down in Reuven's Yad. Yishrak, no? That this question is gufa tolu in the machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, and to our surprise, despite all the accusations that Tosfos hurls against Rashi, Rashi himself in this case is going to be the machlir. Tosfos thinks that Rashi is being makel to the extent that we can't even justify the chiv and Mishnah. Pumfaket, the chiv and Mishnah is crystal clear according to Rashi. Why? Because Shimon took it out of Reuven's hand, and the hand is considered a makom anocha. It's considered Yado Shel Adam. Kedal Al Davi, Akir is now an Akir from Mokum Anocha. Rashi adds another stipulation that he's got to put it down, because otherwise the object is always considered located from beginning to end in his Yad. And now we can take the second scenario. Somebody, Reuven, let's say, puts food or whatever it might be into the Yad of Shimon. So Shimon is now holding the object in his yad, correct? And what does Shimon do with it? He goes out into another rishus. And even if I'll add to you, I'll grant you another possibility according to Rashi, and he puts it down in the other rishus. Is he chayev or is he not? Is according to Tosfos he's chayev? Why? Because Tosfos holds that if your yad and your guf are in the same rishus, then the yad is considered a makom anocha. The guf itself gives, endows the yad with the status of a makom anocha. It's not the mela. In this case, since Reuven put the object into Shimon's yad, and the yad and the guf are in the same rishus, his Tosfos holds that when he stretches his yad out into another rishus, he's chayev. Why? Because as long as his yad and his guf are in the same rishus, it's considered nach, it's considered nayach, and now he took it from a makom anocha. He was oker his yad, and akiris yado, kakiros gufo domi, or kakiris chayfetz domi. But Rashi, lishitasa, holds that yado lo nayach means that you could never do a maisa hotza as long as the object begins in your yad and it ends in your yad. So now Reuven places the object down in Shimon's yad. True that the yad of Shimon is together with the guf, but that's irrelevant according to Rashi, because Shimon begins his hotzah where the object is located in his yad. It never was dislocated from his yad, because with regard to yad, there's a principle yad lo nayach. And what does yad lo nayach mean according to Rashi? We don't say that it's nachal gavi karka. Unlike gufo, the yad is a separate entity unto itself, and the male of the object is located in his yad. Shimon started with the object located in his yad, and he ended with the object located in his yad. So mostly, just to summarize, we have two shilas lahalach in the poskim. They both depend upon the machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, how to interpret yad lo nayach. Let's review. According to Tosfos, yad lo nayach because yad basa gufa greira means the yad is outstretched into a different shus than the guf, and the yad cannot be considered a makom anocha when it's not connected to the guf. According to Rashi, on the other hand, yad lo nayach means that the object is located in the yad, not al gabi karka, like the maskanas hasugi with regard to gufo. The maskanas hasugi in gufo is gufo nayach al gabi karka. And there are two nafkaminas between Rashi and Tosfos about yad lo nayach. One nafkamina would be if Shimon takes the object out by stretching his arm out, but he puts it into the yad of Reuven that's outstretched into another arm. Tosfos is going to activate the principle of yad lo nayach, because as long as the guf is in one rishus, the yad is another, is yad basa guf for greira, and that's not considered hanocha. There's no way of endowing and engendering the status of hanocha in the yad when the yad is connected to the guf in a different rishus. The guf is in a different rishus. Rashi, on the other hand, will say that yad is a makom anocha for all dinim. As long as somebody puts it into a yad, he's chayev. It makes no bit of a difference, according to Rashi, if Reuven stretched his yad out to a different rishus, Shimon is chayev for putting it in Reuven's yad. That's considered hanocha al gabi makom dalet al dalet, and he's chayev. And the reverse case, where Reuven puts an object into Shimon's yad, and Shimon now takes the object out, is according to Tosfos, since Yado and Gufa are in the same rishus, we apply the principle of Yado ki gufo dummy, and once Yado ki gufo dummy, they're in the same rishus. The guf gives the status, the status of nayich, and if so, when he moves his hand, he basically is removing the object from the karka, because Yodo basa gufa greira means that the object is located on the karka, just like his goof is on the karka. And basically, this is exactly identical with the case of akiris gufa kakiris chayfetz domi, and now it's akiris yodo kakiris chayfetz domi. Rashi, on the other hand, would say in such a case you're patur. Why? Because Shimon never relocated the object. The object began in his yad and ended in his yad. Rashi holds that yodolo nayich means that there's no relationship between the chefetz and the yad when it's in the hand of a person and the karka. It's not located on the karka. Where is it located? It's on the yad. It's like the sugya later on. I don't know if you've gotten to it yet. The sugya of egos v'tof kli v'kli tzafal gavimayim, that the egos is considered in the kli and it never relocated itself. And that's going to be the double nafkamina between Rashi and Tosis as to how you learn Yod Olo Na. Okay. We'll stop here. What are you saying?
Well, the second case is going to Tosis where's the Hanukkah.
As soon as he stops, that's called Hanukkah's Yodo. And Hanukkah's Yodo, Hanukkah's Gufo.
Sounds like it's a possible Tosis, right?
I don't know. I didn't get a chance to, you know, work this through in the postgame, but yeah.
If you have a pavement in your house, and by accident you walk out of the house, so you keep going until you find a makamut or not spot. That sounds like
Tosfos. Oh, so that has to do with a sugya called Omid Lekatev and Omid Lofush. Would you like to believe Neder? I mean, again, I don't want to say Neder Gadol, but we can study that and come back to your other point.
Okay,
believe Neder. That'll be, I hope.
But the only way to be Mechayev you is to
Right. But that's the question.